Hi, I'm Catherine Galligan, and I believe that love is not just the most important thing in the world, it's the most important force in the entire universe. Welcome to Love to You All, a podcast created to inspire hope in a world longing for change. Choosing love over fear, over division, over indifference takes incredible courage, but I believe that when we do, we awaken the wisdom and power needed to create a world where love leads. Because when love is the guiding force, peace becomes possible. In each episode, we'll explore what it means to be the love for ourselves, our communities, and for this beautiful planet we live on. I'll be joined by guests who are visionaries, healers, artists, and everyday people, all sharing how they live love in action. I believe it's my soul's mission to remind us all of what's possible. That world peace is not a pipe dream. It's a choice, and it starts within. So thank you for being here. Let's become the most loving frequency possible together, because we've got a world to change. Hello, and welcome back to Love to You All. I am Catherine Galligan, the host of your show, and I am so glad to be back. It has been a minute since I have broadcasted to you through this podcast airways. And today I have a really special conversation. And this one is one of those very grounding, heart-opening episodes that reminds me of what real transformation feels like, that it starts from within. And I had the true honor of speaking with Abby Cameron. She is a confidence coach who helps women in leadership. And we use that word loosely, leadership. It could be leadership of a company. It could be leadership at home. It could be leadership just of yourself. But Abby helps women in leadership reconnect to their authentic power. And what makes her work so special is the way she partners with horses as co-coaches. And she uses a system called Equus Coaching. And this was an experience that I actually got to have with her. And let me just say, it is a powerful practice that uses the intuition and presence of a horse to reflect your truth, even when you can't quite see your own truth. It's an amazing experience, and we talk all about it in this conversation, particularly what it means to mind your own business. And so the horse helps us do that. Basically, you stop seeking external validation, start listening to your inner compass. And Abby does an amazing job of showing and just sharing with us how horses can sense our emotions and help us regulate our energy and our nervous system and mirror back all the places within us where we're basically out of alignment. So we talk a lot about inner work, how to raise our vibration, you know, what that means. And I share with you the actual experience I had in the arena with a beautiful horse named Penelope that Abby so graciously shared with me. And it was quite enlightening. And so I can't wait to share this conversation with you. And for maybe you to become inspired to go seek her out. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Abby Cameron of Indigo Coaching. Well, hi, Abby. Welcome to my show. Love to you all.
Thank you. Good morning. It's so good to see you.
It's good to see you too. I mean, it is morning, isn't it?
It is. I know. I guess yeah. Where we are today, it is morning.
Yes. Yes. Okay, so I'm really grateful that you're here, and people are going to realize once we start talking that we've met already, but I'm excited to get to know you more and for people to really understand, you know, what you're doing out in this world. It's really beautiful. It's really special. But before we, you know, get into all of that, I have a lofty goal, and my goal is, you know, I really think that world peace is possible in this lifetime. In my lifetime, you know, and I'm older these days. It feels that way anyway. And so some people think, you know, maybe my life is half over, right? If I'm in my 50s. And so, so that means, you know, we still have time for world peace. Do you think it's possible?
You know, Catherine, that is such a big question.
I know.
When I first started listening to your podcast and you reached out to me and I thought, I absolutely love that you believe this and that this is the message that you're trying to share with the world. And the reason why I was really excited to come on your show and talk to you, get to know you a little bit better, is because I do believe it is possible. And it may be hard to say that just where we are in our world right now, but yeah. What I believe is we all vibrate, right? We all have this consciousness, and if we vibrate high enough, I do think that it's possible because emotion is contagious.
Yeah.
And so the more time we spend focusing on those higher vibration emotions like joy and peace and gratitude, we most definitely can reach world peace because then we all get out of our own way, right?
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that maybe that's why I think it's so simple and maybe mm-hmm. it's not so lofty because it's just a personal choice, you know? And so why couldn't every single individual just say, yeah, I want to be the, I want to mm-hmm. be this higher vibration. Hey, I'd like to be happy. You know, what will that take? What does that look like?
And exactly. Yes. Yeah. And it requires everybody to do a little bit of their own work, right? Because yeah. it all comes from the inside. It's all inner work. And so that's such a unique part of the equation when we talk about world peace is because there are so many of us that seek this validation that's outside of us instead mm-hmm. of working on what's within us. So I think that's the first step towards world peace is go do your own inner work and let's start there.
Yeah. Is that right? It starts with each individual. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and I think that I used to think that, oh, I need to inspire people, you know, like I need to motivate someone or inspire someone to think a certain way or to feel a certain way. And like, no, it's, of course that's not true. Like that's just me probably looking for validation, like you just mm-hmm. you know, for right. someone to like, you know, do something so that I feel better. When really it's all about like choosing and like our own inner vibration. And like, that's the mm-hmm. only thing that I can control, right?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Because when we are seeking that external validation, we are sitting in somebody else's business and we're trying to control something about them.
Yeah.
We're trying to control something about them that we have no business being in. We cannot control anybody else. We cannot control the universe. We can only control our own inner work. But the amazing thing about that as it relates to world peace is the more that we do that, the brighter our light is and the more attractive that is. So inevitably, when we end up doing that own inner light and we just stay focused on what we can control, it starts to influence and change other people because they start to feel it and they start to want to be a part of it. And they're you become magnetic to that type of energy.
Yeah. And I think that's what I'm maybe starting to experience is like where before I was forcing something or, you know, trying to inspire mm-hmm. somebody. And now it's like, well, just be yourself and be the vibration that you strive to be. And that's going to activate it in somebody mm-hmm. else. And so just walking around on this planet, you know, is going to activate somebody, mm-hmm. hopefully, you know, right. if I'm a certain right. vibration, as opposed mm-hmm. to me even like holding a workshop about how to, you know, do this or that. And so this whole, the way that you put it about other people's business, I can't, mm-hmm. I can't help but laugh because that's what you said to me when I got to have my horse experience with you.
Yes.
So let's just back up a little bit. Tell the audience just more about yourself and what you do and definitely this work that you're doing with the horses. This mm-hmm. is what drew me to want to meet you in the first place.
Sure, absolutely. So I am an equus life coach. Okay. And all that means is that's a fancy way of saying that I help individuals find their inner confidence, really master their mindset because we have a lot of conditioning, a lot of limiting beliefs. And I help people set better boundaries, which we all need. And I do that with the help of a horse like you experienced. So they're highly intuitive and sentient beings, and they can feel human emotions. They can feel our moods, our thoughts, our emotions. So when we spend time with a horse, they reflect back to us what maybe we're trying to hide from ourselves, maybe what we're trying to hide from the world that is getting in the way of being the best versions of ourselves. And so when we spend time with a horse and they reflect all of that back to us, it's this beautiful opportunity for us to
practice coming back to being grounded, being present, and then stepping back into our own business, because that's kind of how we started that. Is that I shared with you that there's three types of business in your session, and there's your business, the other person's business, there's my own business, and then there's the universe's business. There's only one of those that we can control. And the horse teaches us to come back to our own business. And if you don't mind me sharing, but what I loved about your experience is the minute you brought it back to your own business and what you could control, the horse inevitably started following you, just took lead and took step with exactly what you were doing, because you weren't worrying about controlling what she was doing or her movements or where she was going to go. So it's a beautiful practice.
It really is. So the message is, mind your own business. Everyone mind your own business. I feel like this might have been taught to me in kindergarten, but I missed the memo.
Well, let me say this. Like, it is normal for us not to operate that way, because biologically, by default, we are also herd animals, just like the horses. And we are constantly, like, there's this very old part of our brain, and I'm like pointing to the back of my head because it sits right there at the top of our brainstem, that is designed to make us pay attention to what keeps us from getting kicked out of the herd. So It will do everything and give us choices that will try to make sure that we're fitting in.
Yeah.
And so by default, we're constantly trying to fit in. Well, if that's the case, then I'm always looking for external validation. So it's not completely our fault that we spend a lot of time in other people's business. It's how our brains operate. So this is kind of a new way of showing up. It requires a lot of intentionality, but it's possible.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that. That makes me feel less bad about maybe how I've been operating this whole time. But it is. It's like understanding, okay, the very thing that we've been angling for just by default of how our brains work. And now we have permission to, you know, release that or just soften that agenda and, you know, approach life with a totally different way.
Absolutely. Well, our mindset is very much like our physical body. So if you want to be a well person, you have to move your body in some way. You need to eat good foods, right? Real whole foods, and really take care of your body physically. But that requires practice. If we don't move our bodies, if we eat junk all the time, then we are stuck. You know, we feel like sludge, right? We are not the best version of ourselves. Our mindset is the same way. It's just like daily exercise for our minds is essentially what mindset practice is, mindset conditioning. And so as a coach, that's the work that I love, is I give you those tools to exercise your mindset every day to override that natural response.
How did you get into coaching? And so tell me about the transition, because you had a career. It was more of a corporate, like in a corporate setting. And then at some point you switched gears.
Yes, yes. Okay. So I have a degree in psychology, and my goal was to go on to be a child psychologist, just from my own experiences as a child, some traumatic events, that's what I wanted to do when I got out of college. What I didn't know at the time is I'm clairsentient. So I feel people's energy. I feel feelings a lot. And I didn't know that at the time. And so when I was working with these kids, right before I was getting into grad school, I could not handle it. I was carrying their weight, and I didn't know the difference between my own energy and their energy. And it was completely overwhelming for me. And so I decided maybe this isn't the route that I need to go. So I shifted gears and I ended up teaching school for a little while. And then I landed in the nonprofit world, and I was a director in the nonprofit world for a very long time. And then I ended up, in manufacturing and some corporate stuff after that. But during that time, somebody said to me, you should be a life coach. I mean, this is over 10 years ago. And at that time, I mean, life coaching was not a big deal. You know, Oprah was just starting to talk about her life coach, Martha Beck. And so I had no idea what it was. And I thought, what is a life coach? So I had to do a deep dive into research, go find out what that meant. And what I realized is being a coach is helping people see what's getting in their way in terms of what limiting beliefs have they been taught through childhood, through their own conditioning, through families, through cultures, and what I could do to kind of help them see that, to override it. So instead of dealing with sort of past traumas and whatnot, I take where you are right now, show mm-hmm. you what's getting in your way, and then help you remove those obstacles so that you can go out and be the best version of yourselves, to find peace, to find happiness, to find joy. And so I went out and got my certification with Martha Beck, Oprah's life coach.
Oh, you did?
Yes, because she's incredible. So there's two types of coaches. There's performative coaches, and then there's developmental coaches. Performative coaches are those, like, you think of them in terms of like a business. You have a goal and you want to go out and reach that goal. So a performative coach is going to help you do that. And then there's developmental coaches, which is what I am, which is, it's more mindset work. So that mm-hmm. confidence, that mindset, setting boundaries, we're working on who you are on the inside. So then that reflects when you go out and choose to work on those goals on the outside. And so that's, I chose to do that. And then as I was working with clients, I realized that there seemed to be something missing. That where I could get with a client in 6 or 8 sessions was great. We'd find some pretty big transformation. But then a few months down the road, a year down the road, they kind of fall right back to where they were. Mm-hmm. And I thought there has to be a different way. I mean, I would love to stay with my clients the rest of their life, but I want to teach them enough that they can walk themselves out of situations so they don't need me anymore. It's all internal. And so I realized that, you know what, there's got to be a better way. And I made the connection between when I was younger and we had horses, I grew up with horses, that I got something out of that experience with a horse that taught me about myself. Mm-hmm. So I went and searched, like, there has to be a way to use horses with people that doesn't require riding, you know, so anybody yeah. can come and do it. And I found Equus Coaching. And I thought, this is absolutely brilliant. We're using a horse as a co-coach to be that reflective mirror. And the reason why it's so transformational is because, and I think you even said this the other day when we had your session, is once you've worked with a horse, you will always remember that experience. And yeah. so 6 months down the road, 8 months down the road, when you come back to that same challenge that you're struggling with, because our limiting beliefs never truly go away. Again, it's that constant practice mm-hmm. that you remember that experience with the horse, and you can come back to what you learned to try to get yourself back on track. And so I've just seen bigger changes by using a horse in my coaching practice versus just me and a client speaking one-on-one.
Well, you said that the other day, that what you can accomplish in 6 sessions of life coaching, or, and I think mm-hmm. of it, it's like therapy, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. there's like, mm-hmm. it's like a conversation that you're having, you accomplish in 1 session with the horse. So we go from 6 to 1.
Absolutely.
I'm just saying, most Americans, we want results fast.
You
know,
we do.
Like, let's chop here. You know, let's enough of the mm-hmm. fluff. Like, let's get straight to it. And mm-hmm. so, I think you're about to be really busy. You know, do you have your own horse? Like, do you have your own like stable and horse like that you have access to all the time?
Sure. So I don't own a horse. It's expensive to own a horse in the city.
I know.
But in a way, that's a blessing because yeah. I have community partners. So I have 2 different stables that I work with for very different things. So I have 1 stable in the south part of Dallas that I do larger corporate groups with. So we'll come yeah. out and do team building with higher level CEO, C-suite type people mm-hmm. with horses, do some team building there. And then my one-on-one clients, I meet at a different stable kind of in the center of, or just north of Dallas. And the beauty in that is I have many horses to use. And horses are just like people. They have personalities. Mm-hmm. And so when I get a general sense of what a client wants to work on, then I can kind of find a horse that will help be the best mirror, the best reflection for them based on what they're working on. So some horses, you know, if I have a client that comes to me and is really wanting to take some action on some things, they're really already in that mindset, they've kind of gotten out of their way, they just don't know what to do next, then I have a horse that we can use in an arena where they're moving the horse through certain obstacles, only using their presence, their body language to move the horse through these obstacles in the arena. And then I have other clients that really just are in what I call stage 1, where this challenge has just happened and mm-hmm. they're kind of losing it. They have no idea where they are. They have no idea what's going to happen next. And they just need to feel it before they're ready to kind of dream and scheme and move on. Yeah. So I have some horses that are great at just standing there and letting clients cry or hug on them or just be or just talk to them and not have to do any movement at all. So someday that is my dream, to own my own horse. But the beauty right now is I get to use all the personalities that are the best fit for the client.
That is so great. I love that. Yeah, that is a beautiful setup for sure. I loved the horse that I got to work with. So it was such a blessing. And so did I just sort of luck out by having the one that was like what I needed that day? Because you have people felt like you do a proper intake where people are like, you know, you're asking them questions. What are you wanting to work on? So that you're, you know, meeting them where they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So usually how it works first is, in our case is a little bit different because, you know, you reached out to me and found me a different way. But generally how it works is a client will do a consultation call with me first. And so that's over the phone or over video or whatever. And we just take the time to kind of have a conversation about what is it that you're looking for? What are you working on? What are you hoping to get out of our experience? And then there is an intake form, which gives the client an opportunity just to give me a little bit more detail. So then by the time we get to the barn with the horse, I have enough information to pull the right horse. But I've been known to be in the middle of a session and say, you know what? Let's try a different horse. And we go and we pull a different one. So I don't hold a hard line to this horse is the best one for the client, because it's really just fluidity. It's just finding, you know, whatever comes up in the moment and see if we can match that energy.
Yeah, being in that flow. Mm-hmm. Well, it's really true what you just said. I had the good fortune of having, it was called the Equine Experience, I think, in Austin. And so it was a group setting. So there was six of us and we were given an assignment, you know, and all we had to do was get a horse to do one obstacle, you know? And so you look at this big arena and there's like 10, you know, there's like a beam and there's a pole and there's some barrels and whatever. And, you know, you just have to pick one. That's it. And so you're like, oh, this is going to be easy. You know,
right.
I'm going to identify the easiest obstacle and I'm, you know, and I'm going to do this. But the rule is you can't touch the horse. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's no like physical coercion at all. And what was taught to me, like my first attempt was, why would a horse trust you? You're not walking in there like a leader. You need to be a leader. And I don't know what it was about the way she said it and like her word choice, but that stuck with me. It's like, if you really want to be a leader, and I'm not even sure that was on my list of goals, you know, that like, if I want someone to, you know, to do something that I would know is in their best interest, for example, like I have to lead and I have to show up the way a leader would. And so what is that? And so, you know, and so that we kind of identified that, like, well, there's confidence and competency and like there's things that are sort of required for someone to trust you, and also self-trust. And so like in 5 minutes, I woke up really fast to like how the first foot I put forward in any situation. And and that happened in January. So that was almost a year ago. And I'm still, I wouldn't say haunted by it, but it's still like in my mind. And so when I show up to a situation where, you know, I'm not trying to like, you know, run someone else's show, but it's like if I'm trying to like collaborate and like lead in a way, then I know I need to show up a certain way if I want it to be effective and successful. And so, and it's the horse that taught me that, not years and years of all the things that I've done, you know, spiritual workshops, retreats, like you name it. And so you definitely don't have to sell this me on the horse, that's for sure. But it's just, it's amazing. It's so, so powerful. Mm-hmm. And so do you mind sharing a little bit about like maybe an experience that you recall as a child, like what, you know, that you maybe made this connection?
Mm-hmm. Sure, okay. Absolutely.
Thank you.
And I'm going to do that in just a minute, but I want to back up because basically what you're describing is self-leadership. Yes. And self-leadership, again, is within your control. It goes back to minding your own business. That's what self-leadership is. And the minute that you self-lead, because horses are, they are prey animals. And so they are looking to the herd for safety. Mm-hmm. But everybody has to do that, their own work within the herd. Everybody has to be congruent in some way. So when you step into a place of self-leadership, you are saying to the rest of your herd that you are congruent, that your words and your body language match each other. Because, and this is so powerful, and I love that you brought this up, because presence, leadership presence especially, is incredibly powerful. 70% of what we put off to somebody else is completely nonverbal. It is only the way that we show up. It is our energy. That's it. 20% is words and 10% is tone. And so if your words don't match your energy, people may not be able to really articulate that, but they're going to feel it. And then they won't trust you. Mm-hmm. So you are exactly right in saying that, that if you want this horse to trust you, you have to put off that energy, and it has nothing to do with what you're saying out loud. And that is what I love about this experience of Equus coaching, is people get to come into the arena and find out exactly how they are showing up in the world without even saying a word. Because the horse doesn't understand your words. They don't judge us. They don't care about our status, how much money we have. All they care about is, how are you showing up energetically, and are you trustworthy? And if you're not, then I'm going to go stand over here and not be in your herd.
Yes. Stop right there, because that was my big takeaway. I think at the end of our session, you're like, you know, what was your big takeaway? And I don't think I could articulate it at the time, because I needed something to happen later that day gel in my mind.
Yes.
So later that day, you know, I have this closet job, right? This closet job. And so I had a closet appointment. And so I get to go to someone's house and, you know, ding dong. And she opens the door and she was so excited to show me not her closet, but like different features of her house, you know, like the wallpaper in the powder room and the light fixture in the bathroom and all these really showcasey, really fancy, opulent features. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, I realized that I was the horse bear with me.
Yeah,
because
right.
She was really trying to demonstrate her power, you know, and her superiority, if you will, with all of her fancy fixings, like all the fancy trimmings and trappings of her home. Sure. And I mean, that was like the vibe that I got. And it's like, okay, but that's not who you are. I don't really care. I mean, as lovely as it is and as beautiful, you know, bravo, I'm glad you're living in this awesome setting. But it's like what I could sense from this person was some pretty deep unhappiness, you know, maybe not very physically healthy, do you know? Mm-hmm. And so as proud as she was of these certain things, there was things about her life that she wasn't proud of. And there was a lack of congruency there.
Absolutely.
That, you know, to me, it really doesn't matter what PhD somebody has or how much money they have in the bank. You know, like if they're not in alignment with who they are, then I know that something in their life is going to suffer, whether it's their health or their relationships or something like that. And so for a split second, I got to be the horse in that scenario. And I was kind of like, I really hope we get this job done fast, because I don't want to be
I would like to leave this house.
Yes. Yeah. Like,
but she didn't even have to say anything for you to sense that, which is that's exactly what we're talking about with presence.
Yeah. This episode is brought to you by my signature program, Emerge, a 9-month immersive journey into extremely intentional living. So what happens when Ayurveda, Feng Shui, and astrology come together in your life? It's actually an impressive list, but for simplicity's sake, I'll go with empowerment. Emerge is a unique blend of self-paced learning and live support. Once inside, you'll receive 9 instructional modules, monthly live masterclasses, and personalized one-on-one coaching with me. This program is specifically designed for you to experience thriving health by integrating Ayurveda into your everyday life, navigate the ups and downs of planetary influence with more ease, and unlock more harmony, abundance, and connection in your life by applying feng shui principles to the 9 key areas of your home. You can start Emerge anytime. And once you do, you'll step into a life rich with meaning. Link to register in the show notes. Okay.
I might have like sideswiped the story because you were about...
Yes, I can go back.
Okay, thank you.
But that was such an important point that I wanted to share. And that's such a beautiful experience, you know, that you had back in January. So thank you for sharing that. But yes,
no, you're welcome.
An experience that I had as a child with a horse. I think the thing that I want to share with you is that as a child, I never felt seen or heard. Mm-hmm. And so coming just from a situation where I had a broken family, very dysfunctional in many ways, mm-hmm. and in the middle of it, trying to grow up.
Right.
And ended up having to be an adult way too soon. Mm-hmm. And so spending time around horses, I think it goes back to exactly what I just said, where I felt seen, heard, and even valued. Like I was mm-hmm. trusted for who I was. I existed as a person. What I wanted to do mattered when it came to spending time with my horse. And what that looked like is I would just, whenever I was feeling something, when I would go and be around a horse, I would just hug on them, just mm-hmm. hug on him, you know? Mm-hmm. And he would kind of wrap his head around me almost as if he was giving me a hug back and saying to you, like, you matter. You're here. You matter to me. You're really important. And it was probably the safest place for me as well. Like not just physically, but emotionally. It was an emotionally safe place. I could cry. I could talk. I could be angry. Because even if I was feeling these really heavy emotions, you know, we talk a lot about congruency with a horse. And it's not if you have a negative emotion that they'll go away from you. Mm-hmm. They just want you to be congruent. So if I'm sad or I'm angry and I'm sitting in that space and I was recognizing it, like I'm really mad, he would stay with me. And he would just let me feel it and just let me be. And I was able to get it all out. And then what I didn't know then that I know now after doing all this work is that horses have this ability to co-regulate. And so whatever their heartbeat is, our heartbeats as humans will start to match it. So one thing that my clients say all the time is, I didn't know what to expect, but oh my gosh, do I feel so calm after leaving this experience. Mm-hmm. And that's because we start to co-regulate with the horse's heartbeat. That's what they do in a herd. It's one way that they communicate is they're paying attention to the other heartbeats of the other horses. If they're elevated, obviously there's some risk. There might be a safety concern, but if they're all calm and grounded, then they can be anywhere in the pasture and they're co-regulating. Everything's fine. Everything's safe. We're all good. Well, our hearts will do the same thing with a horse. So I was co-regulating with the horse, getting all these really heavy, hard emotions out, and then coming to this place of, okay, I'm going to be okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen later today, but I know I'm going to be okay. And the horse always gave me that sense. And I think it's because of that coherent heartbeat. It brought me to a place of rest and digest and get me out of fight or flight. And so every time I'd find myself in that panic zone, if I came back to a horse, I could completely reset my nervous system. As a kid, of course, did not know that, but that's what was happening.
Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. didn't have the language for it. That's mm-hmm. really fascinating. It's really beautiful. It like almost makes me want to cry. Mm-hmm. You know, a really popular modality for healing these days, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think it still is like sound healing. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it feels similar in a way, like it's entrainment, right? Like the vibration yes. of the sound bowl or something is what, mm-hmm. you know, our body will acclimate to or attenuate itself to. And mm-hmm. so I did not realize that we were doing that with the horses. Mm-hmm. No wonder. It's like such unfettered love, you know, like there's no condition there.
Absolutely. Yes. They really don't judge us whatsoever. They just want us to be congruent.
They just want us to be authentic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like the most congruent person wins. The most authentic person wins.
Well, and it, not just about authenticity, but also just about being present. That's the other thing that a horse teaches us. Because, you know, when we're sitting in other people's business, which happens frequently, we're sitting typically in future fears. You know, something that's out there that we don't even know is true because we're worried about somebody else. But it's also in the future. And it's we are completely not in the moment. And they don't want to spend time in that. And so that's the other thing. Not only do they want us to be authentic, but they want us to be in the here and now. And when we do, that's where we find that place of peace and that place of safety.
Yeah. Oh, this is so powerful. I just think, okay, I mean, I'm thinking that everybody needs to be doing this, but are there...
Me too.
is there somebody that is contraindicated for? Like, when would this not be the appropriate choice for someone? Or is there? I don't know.
Well, that's what I'm just thinking. I'm like, is there? No, I don't believe that there is. I have... Okay, so in my coaching practice, I operate off of a change cycle that has four different stages that people go through. So there's cycle 1, 2, 3, and 4. And when you are in the first cycle, that's that total meltdown that I talked about a moment ago, where the transition, the challenge, something, you just had a breakup, a divorce, you lost your job, something happened with your child. The moment that happens and sort of your world dismantles and falls apart, that is stage one. So I get a lot of clients in stage one, but then stage two, you go through dreaming and scheming, where you can, you're kind of starting to get on the other side of that challenge. You're getting an idea of maybe where you want to go. You're not ready to take action yet, but you're close. You're thinking about it. You're starting to shift your mindset. That's stage two. Working with a horse in that stage is incredible because that is the place where you start to trust yourself. Because as you're dreaming, you're like, okay, what is in my best interest? Because sometimes what happens is we have two selves. We have our social self and our essential self. And our essential self is that authentic part of us that the horse is relating to. But the social self is the conditioned self that, okay, my mom thinks I should do this. My spouse thinks that I should do this. Oh, okay, my culture says I'm a woman that I should do this. That's the social self. And so when we're dreaming and scheming, it's really easy to play into that social self. And so working with a horse in stage two is incredible because the horse will teach you the difference between what your social self is dreaming and what your essential self is dreaming. And so then you learn to kind of trust your own gut instincts a little bit better when you're in stage two and you work with a horse. Stage three then is all about action. So that's when I would get a client out in the arena and they're like, okay, I'm ready to go interview for a new job. And so then we'll get the horse out there. Maybe the obstacles, I like to use metaphors. And so the obstacle might be a metaphor for this interview that they have coming up. And so we'll practice action. We'll practice presence. We'll practice what that means to go out and actually nail the interview. And then stage four is maintenance. It's kind of like you've gotten to where you want to be. Your mindset's great. You are doing all the work. But maintenance doesn't mean like we just sit back, chill, and relax. We still have to do work because it goes back to otherwise we will go back to our default, which is always seeking out that negative bias to try to fit in all the time. So working with a horse in stage four is really about what can I do to maintain presence? What can I do to maintain these tools to stay in this place so I don't get shoved back into stage one? Inevitably it happens, but the longer we can keep in stage four, the better.
Right. Well, is it better to always be in the essential self when we're dreaming and scheming and going about our, you know, daily lives?
This is how I think the answer to your question of how we're going to attain world peace. It's a yes.
I think so. I'm hoping you would say that.
Yes. Because if we're staying in our essential selves, that's when we become magnetic energetically. That's when we become, we're not trying to inspire other people. We are just inspiring. We are giving them the empowerment to go do that themselves because it looks so good on you. It feels so good to be around you, the person that's magnetic. So yes, staying in your essential self. Now, there are some times where we have to lean into our social self. I mean, we have to live within community. We have to live within a society. So there are parts of us that, yes, still need to operate as a social self. But when we are making decisions about what's in our highest good and in our best interest, it should always be from that internal compass of the essential self.
Yeah, the social self has so many limitations to it, right? And so we're mm-hmm. already thinking in a limited way when mm-hmm. we do that. That's really, really powerful. Okay, so when I had my session, was I in stage? Probably, I don't feel like I'm definitely not in stage one. Maybe
not
stage,
in stage one.
No, maybe stage two, like there's a light at the end of the tunnel mm-hmm. kind of thing. Yeah.
I would say you might even be on the cusp based on, you know, the topic that we were talking about for you, that cusp between two and three. You're
two
sort of wrapping up to getting ready to kind of take some action.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, good. Then the session
would you
is
agree?
Really well timed. Yeah, I really would, because okay. I don't feel like I'm, you know, in the throes of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do think I'm kind of ready to emerge in some way. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know exactly how, but
sure.
Oh, it was just such a powerful experience. It really was. Mm-hmm. And so can we explain what you had me do?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
Do you want to pull? Yeah, you explain that from your perspective.
Okay. Well, then,
you can share your experience, but then I can also give you feedback from why we did what we did or, you know.
Okay. Yeah, I want to walk somebody through what it would be like. I mean, you know, you pull up to this barn and the one that I went to is in Richardson. And mm-hmm. so this was like in this, you know, DFW center, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you park your car and so you walk over to the stable and here's a few horses, you know, and here's pretty Abby, you know, it's like,
hi, welcome.
Yeah, here we go. And yeah. And the first thing you did was make me feel extremely comfortable around horses. Because I can't say that I'm, you know, it's not like I'm around horses all the time. I could probably count, you know, on one hand, like how often I've gotten to do that, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, my fears were alleviated pretty quickly. You know, you're just, I mean, because you just had this sort of, oh, yeah, ho-hum, there's a horse. Lolly la.
Not a big deal. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's almost like I maybe, did you say co-regulate? I kind of mm-hmm. you know, co-regulated with you about just like, there's nothing to be afraid of here. And, you know, and you're there and you're trained and you know what to do. So I would, you know, and the reason why I bring this up is anybody who does have, if they just know straight out of the gate, oh, I'm terrified of horses. Well, like, well, you really don't need to be. Like, this is a controlled environment. Like, everything, mm-hmm. you know, everything is fine and your fears are going to be put to ease pretty quickly. And so, and we got to spend time just like petting her, you mm-hmm. know, like getting to know her, like touching her, physically touching her. And like, you know, again, you sort of see like, okay, everything's still fine. You know, I'm safe. Everything's good. Mm-hmm. And yeah, but the first thing, my first task that I remember, so we like there was a lot of conversation about, you know, what's going on with me. And so that always feels, it feels good to like, to be able to articulate it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, just sort of like get it out there. But the first thing that you had me do is I had to take the reins and lead her, you know, around, mm-hmm. which I did. And there was a part of it where I felt like I was in control, but the reality was that I was not in control. Okay, so
that's right. Okay, so
what did you observe?
Well, what you were putting off, because again, yeah. it was presence. It's not even what you were saying, is that, well, in part of that exercise is I had you step into a place in your body that what you came to me with, kind of your challenge in general, which didn't feel great. And was in sitting in other people's business, right? So I kind of, the first time I had you walk Penelope around the arena is I wanted you to embody that person. And so what happened is she pretty much walked all over you. Like anytime you wanted to turn, she's like, no, we're going over here.
Yeah.
And not in an unsafe way. Let me be clear on that. But just like she pretty much knew that you were not in charge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that the best way to describe that?
Yeah. I mean, but the fascinating thing is like you can really be in your own blind spot and think that you're in charge.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I feel like another gift of this whole experience is like you're not even going to know what hit you. You're not because mm-hmm. you like it's an enormous blind spot that you have to yourself, like a way your eyes aren't even open to yourself yet. And so, you know, that was a little bit of a news flash.
Yeah.
But okay, so but like that, you know, you can recognize it. So I recognized it. Okay. Mm-hmm. So then I had to do it again, but I think this time I'm embodying, or I'm like recalling, or like an energy where I felt
you know, your essential self. Like I asked you to step into your authenticity.
Okay.
What did that look like in terms of your confidence and your mindset staying in your business? I think I specifically said, okay, this time I want you to stay in your business.
You told me to do that a lot. I must be really nosy and not in my own business and really concerned about what other people think. And so
completely normal. Just let me say that. That's completely normal. So after you embodied that space, what happened then?
Well, and I even think like it took me, I had to get halfway around the arena before I did it. So there was a real I could feel the difference in the horse once I was able. So like, you know, if we were to take the arena in half, you know, like the perimeter of it, like the first half of it, I'm trying to be in my essential self. And then something like a phrase went through my head and that completely changed my energy. So it helped me kind of click into that gear of being in my essential self. And the energy, it was almost like, I mean, it wasn't like I was dragging her along or pulling her in any sort of way, but she went from there feeling like there was something solid behind me to something weightless. That's what it felt like.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so she picked up really fast, like immediately. It was like instant time that like, okay.
And you, there was a very clear difference. And weightless is such a beautiful way to describe it. Because visually what I was seeing versus the first time is she was a bit of a bulldozer, right? And heavy. And then the second time when you stepped into your authentic self and you just set the intention to just stay within you and not worry about what she was going to do, she took a step back and was very light-footed and was so in tune to your energy that if you sped up, she would speed up. And if you slowed down a little bit, she would slow down. Even to the point where you came back to the center of the arena so that we could chat again. When you stopped, she naturally stopped. You didn't have to like say, whoa, or pull on her lead line or anything. She was just completely in line with you because you were staying within your own alignment.
It felt amazing. It really did. It didn't even feel like, yay, I did it. It didn't feel like that. It just felt whole inside myself. Yeah. Okay. And then there was one more. This one was like the daunting challenge where I had to go stand like clear on the other side of the arena.
So she was not on the lead line at that time. We completely took it off. She's free. Yep.
Yeah. She was free. So no line, no reins. Mm-hmm. And she had to come to me. She had to meet me. She had to walk across the arena by herself, like on her own volition or on her own terms and meet me. And so how does that work? Is it telepathy? No, like what really happened there? Because I was just like, wow, I'm standing over there and it's like, I don't really know how this is going to go, you know, but I'm just going to stand over here and be myself, you know, and ask her to come join me, you know, telepathically is what I mean. There was no verbal communication. And eventually she did.
Mm-hmm.
And so what on earth? Like, how do you explain this?
Well, it started in the exercise before. So that second time when you chose to stand in your authenticity and lead her around on the line from that space, from your most confident self, you built trust with her. She started to believe that you are worthy and capable of leading because you were being self-led. And so then what happened is when we took the lead line off and you went to the other side of the arena, I asked you to stay in that place because I wanted you to try to ultimately, what we're doing is I want you to feel what that embodiment feels like so that when you go out in your real world, you can come back to that place physically. So that's the presence you're putting off, no matter what chaos you're standing in, that it's still within you. So in order to do that, we kind of have to practice being in that space. And then the horse is sort of the proving point that, okay, wow, this actually works. And so that's what was happening, is you already had that trust established with her. You walked to the other side of the arena. You were staying in that place of authenticity. And because she'd built that connection, she felt it and chose to come and join up with you. And so that was your proof right there that how you present yourself, when you stay in this place of embodiment, other people or horses will come and match and stand in that place with you. Now, if you chose to go over there and stand in fear and right back to like desperation of like, oh, I really wanted her to come over here. Is she going to come over here? Is she going to do it? You're back in her business.
Yes.
Then she's never going to come to you. And right. So it's practice is essentially what it is. And so if it wouldn't have worked, we would have stopped. I would have had a coaching conversation with you like, okay, what's going on in your head? Are you back to sitting in her business? Are you staying in your business? Is there desperation for her to come over, or are you unattached from the outcome? Because all of that matters to whether or not she's going to choose to join up with you. And then, which is what people do out in the real world.
Yes. Well, and it's not even just me being in her business. I was your business too. Like, oh no, what's Abby going to think if I fail right. at this mission? Who else is watching?
Get out of my business.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. See? Mm-hmm. It was really powerful. And I have to say, like, it's so complex. Like, there's so many lessons in there. It's like self-trust and self-leadership and confidence and congruence. See, is that the word? And authenticity. Did I say worthiness? Because you just used that word, and that's a big one I see. Like, what I see a lot with women, and I'm interested into like what are you seeing with clients, maybe just based on, I don't know, gender and age or things like this, but with a lot of women, there's a self-trust component that's missing. And I think I'm just speculating here. This is a working theory, but you know, we're not really taught to develop our intuition. It's not a skill that people are like, hey, this is a valuable skill, keep using it. You know, instead it's more like we rely on analysis and data and things like this. So like a natural, very inherent part of just our feminine side, right? It gets shut down pretty early in our lives. And so I know that I've struggled developing my own sense of self-trust, you know, over the course of my life, because it wasn't necessarily validated. You know, I didn't know that I could trust it. And so therefore, you know, and then it's just sort of like dominoes. Well, if you don't trust yourself, then maybe you're going to have a confidence issue. And if you have that, then maybe you're not going to, you know, be a strong leader or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, that's something that I've seen, that it seems to be more common in women maybe than men. What trends do you see, or like common themes and in your experience?
Absolutely. And that's a really, really good point. I'm really glad that you brought that up. I predominantly work with women, and I say women in leadership, but that's not just that they lead in their jobs. It may mean that they stay at home with their children and they lead at home. Right? It can be women in leadership in any arena, at home, at the office, in their own lives. And that is exactly what I see the most, is they come to me because maybe they feel like they're imposters. They have a lack of confidence. Maybe they have a hard time setting healthy boundaries. You know, maybe they're struggling with negative self-talk. But if we were to strip away all of that, what I find the most is exactly what you're saying. It comes back to this lack of self-love. And so if I try to coach somebody that way, though, it's really hard to get on board with just falling in love with ourselves. It's overwhelming. I don't even know how to start that process. You're so deep in the trenches of negative self-talk that it's like, is that even possible to love myself? So I don't even talk about it at all. That's my main goal, because that's a huge part of self-leadership. So I approach it a different way, where we look at confidence, we look at mindset, we look at boundaries, and we have the horse help us do that, because it is teaching you how to trust yourself and love yourself. Because all those things will actually just naturally fall into place when you start to self-lead, when you start to love and be heart-centered in that way. And the horse just allows you to do that, right? And then shows you that you are lovable, you are valuable, you are worthy. And so even if you can't find it in yourself, having that horse there telling you, yes, you are, even like the story I described of me being a child, like that's what I got. And it gave me enough confidence to go out and manage the chaos that was in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, the horse taught me to love myself and not go down dark roads or dark paths. So.
Wow. Okay. So the Trojan horse of the horse experience is self-love.
It's self-love. But don't tell anybody. They might not come.
Yeah, maybe we should edit that part out. Okay. And so what is the best? That's just the most beautiful thing. I hope.
Yes.
I mean, I'm so in love with this experience.
Good. And I want to speak a little bit too. You were talking about, you know, if you're really nervous around horses, I want to be very clear that I meet you wherever you are. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we start out really slow. And if you're incredibly afraid of horses, we won't ever take the horse off the lead line, because sometimes that's a better sense of safety. Sometimes it means we'll just stand there with a brush and just brush the horse and never actually get out into an arena. Sometimes, you know, if all of a sudden you feel less fearful, then we're going to be out in this big arena letting the horse run around. So I will match the client wherever they are. So, you know, if you're completely petrified of horses but still want this experience, don't let that stop you. I mean, please still come and we will work with that level.
Yeah. I mean, when we first, you know, we walked into the stable together, we kind of met in the parking lot and there was a wall between us. So it's like, I mean, couldn't somebody even just have a session with the horse still inside the stable and get a lot out of it? Do you know?
Yes.
Just take baby steps towards, you know, eventually everyone running around in the arena.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, just to give you some feedback about my experience just with you as a human, I mean, the very first thing I felt was ease and trust. That was like the very first thing. Yeah. No, really.
Good.
Well, I mean, actually, you convey that really well on your website too.
Okay.
Which I want to make, I'm going to put them in the show notes, but even just the language that you use to describe how you get to where you are today and what you're doing today is so authentic that we have no choice but to trust you. It's like there's no ego there. It's like you've been to the ego rodeo.
Yes.
No, we don't need to do that. Like, here I am.
Nope.
And so it's really, I mean, the world is lucky to have you, Abby. I'm so grateful for what you're doing, this experience you're providing. It's awesome.
Well, I am grateful you said that. I truly believe that humanity in general can benefit from just showing up and just seeing people. Doesn't mean that we always have to agree with each other or that we do. We might have different value systems, but I still want to see you as a human. You know, we are equal in that way, even if we share different value systems. So I try really hard to put out that message and just meet people where they are, judgment-free. So I am grateful to hear that that's your experience.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Check that one off your list.
Good.
You know, and just like circling all the way back to world peace, you know, I think it would seem like a really impossible goal if what we were trying to do is get everybody to believe in the same thing. That's not the point. The
Absolutely.
Whole point is the point is to be the horse and see the person for who the person is, the essential self of that person. That's it. Okay. Okay, everybody. Okay. That's all.
That was easy.
See? Okay. So if people want to find you, they need to go to indigocoaching.net. Is there something special behind the word indigo and why you chose that?
Oh, there is.
What is it? Yes,
there is. Yes, absolutely. So indigo is a plant that grows wild and free. And indigo is also a color. And so the color sort of represents, it's a piece of spirituality where we talk about our intuition and our third eye. And so indigo is what I am trying to get my clients to tap into, is that own inner wisdom, that essential self. But then the other wild and free part is you come to me tamed meaning you have limiting beliefs, you have value systems that you may have outgrown, you have conditioning that you may have outgrown, and I want to untame you and help you become wild and free. Just grow wild and abundant, because that's what the indigo plant does itself. So it's a combination of those. It's basically helping you become the best version of yourself.
Amen. That was awesome. Okay. Thank you for taking the time to explain that. So
yes.
Abby Cameron at indigocoaching.net. I'm going to make a prediction here. So, you know, my lips to the universe's ears. I'm going to mind the universe's business now. And I think you're about to be really busy. I hope so. Yeah,
for humanity.
I hope so. That's exactly why. I hope so. Not for my own business, but for everybody else's business, because it is truly my purpose in this lifetime is to actually help other people heal and grow. And I'm incredibly passionate about it. So I hope I'm busy in that way, because I want to help you. I want to help your audience. Humanity in general.
Okay. This is the one exception of when we get to mind other people's business.
Yes.
You might that. Okay. There.
That's true.
Thank you.
For the purpose of helping them heal and grow. Yes.
Awesome. Oh, thank you so much for being on my show, Abby. This was wonderful.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed getting to know you, and thank you for coming out to experience Equus Coaching as well. And, you know, so I can help you on your own journey.
Anytime. Thank you for tuning into this episode of Love to You All. If you're enjoying this show, please share it with someone who you know would benefit. That would mean the world to me. And another fantastic way to support the show is by leaving a positive review and a rating. It just takes a minute. It would make a huge difference. I hope this message reaches as many people as possible. I really appreciate your support. And so until next time, so much love to you all.